Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, the Scott Frost picture is funny when you look at Nebraska and then the UCF helmet, but he's got the Nebraska sweats on and he's got the Bear Bryant trophy. I was thinking during that game, how it was neat that Scott Frost said, you know what, we're not leaving. None of us are leaving. We're staying for the bowl game, because you don't see that. Very classy move. He wanted to finish it up with those guys.
And for Nebraska as well, to allow it. Because Nebraska, I think part of it is he's their guy. But most universities are like, get your ass to work.
Well, he might have said, I'm not doing it.
That too.
I'm not doing
they
it.
They might have been like, we get it, Scott.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah. And everybody should be okay with that. The thing about it is that everybody wants to improve their lot in life. You can't tell me a coach that wouldn't, you know, jump at the chance to better his position. There are very few places where it's the best and I can't get any better, unless you're at your alma mater. You know what? Yeah, which is why a lot of places like University of Houston or wherever, Scott Frost is going back to Nebraska. If Alabama offered, he might not leave Nebraska because that's his place. So any coach who criticizes a player for not playing and making a business decision is as hypocritical as it gets, because every coach would better his own lot in life, even when he's got a contract he's not going to fulfill. He would rather buy out the contract than stay at that place. Whereas these kids have an opportunity, not getting paid, they're getting stipends and they're getting an education. Okay, blah, 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 all of that. But any coach that criticizes a player for trying to make sure that he can better himself and actually make some money, because every coach is making money no matter where he is, and he's trying to make more.
Where does that come from, where they forget that they would do the same thing? Why is it a double standard where a coach will either go out of his way, sometimes behind the scenes or even publicly, and talk about a kid leaving and either calling them a quitter, or they may not reference the kid particularly, but they'll talk about an element in their program who's not bought in when kids transfer. I've never understood that, because when it's contract time, either you're going to finesse your current school into giving you more money or go take another job that you think is mm-hmm. better for you, which is what anyone should be doing in that situation, particularly a kid who has 4 to 5 years to maximize, whether just being having a great time as a college athlete. Maybe you don't have NFL aspirations, maybe you're not going to make it, but just to be able to play. And if you're a good kid who works hard and you've realized the opportunity is not going to be here, why do I want to be depth for you when you would recruit over me if it came down to it?
Well, and look at Jalen Hurts. Hey, you're not playing. Guess what? Beat it. You know, the coaches have absolutely no loyalty. It's about winning. And for that kid, it's about getting paid. And I cannot blame him one bit. And I think it's going to happen more and more. While it sucks for college football, guess what? They've got those kids, and those kids are making the money. And if an NFL team would hold it against them, that's more. It's even more hypocritical. Those kids have been playing for basically free and filling up stadiums. Or if not for free, they're the best value in all the sports because, you give them a scholarship, you give them a stipend, and they're filling up giant. And oh, by the way, all the money that ESPN is giving to these universities to televise them as well. Yeah, they're becoming famous. That's great. What is that? That doesn't put food on the table. What puts food on the table is getting that NFL contract. So that's number one. And anybody who said, well, they're not there. Yes. They're football players. And this is their training ground.
No matter
ground.
What they say, football players first.
That's right. And this is their training ground. This is where they go to make the money.
It's just hypocrisy from the NCAA to not all coaches, but a lot of them who will tell you, hey, you should be there for your team. But aren't you fielding calls from some other place to see if there's a better job opening?
And if you're at a big, really, really big place, at some point you fielded calls.
Yes.
At some point you did it.
How the business works.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I love what Scott Frost did. You know what? He's the exception to the rule that actually stood by the team. But he still left.
Yeah.
He still bettered himself.
He did the best he could do in a situation where he was called home and he really wanted to take that job. He did what he could do to try not to make it such a blow. He saved the team. Happy ending. They won the bowl game. And now they get Josh Heupel, the guys who are still at UCF, and he gets to coach Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. So big ups to him. And you know what? I think that's a guy that gets it. I would want to play for that guy. Of course, we don't know him. You know,
I don't think he'd fit
from afar.
I don't think he'd fit his offense.
I don't know. Maybe I would. I don't know.
Well, you were a Veer quarterback back in the day, so maybe you would fit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. If you'd like to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5, you're more than welcome.
If we talk about sex robots, people will chime in, right?
Yeah, people will call. I don't think there's any question about that. And somebody brought up a good point. Madden knows when to call timeouts.
They do program the AI in Madden to call timeouts. It's not, if I'm getting them, get a little nerdy. It's not always correct when they do it, but yeah. They figure out when to sub guys in, when to call timeout, when to challenge. Yeah, so it's on a basic level, but it's already been done.
So maybe Bill O'Brien could have the Madden game out there.
Or just have a Ask Madden option.
Yeah, Ask Madden option. And they can...
You can always ignore that option. I feel like Bill O'Brien would ignore it more often than not because, you know, got to go with my gut. The gut that hasn't proven to be all that correct very often. But got to go with it.
I'm with it. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get Gilbert in here. He wants to talk about the Astros. And who can blame him? What's up, Gilbert?
Jesus. Oh, of course.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Something happened.
Hello?
Oh, he's awake. Hey, Gilbert!
Well, I'm sick.
What happened?
Waiting on that damn bus to wait. It was cold last night anyway.
What did he say?
You were waiting on the bus and it was cold outside?
Yeah, very damn cold out there.
Very damn cold, he said.
He's very aggressive today. Where are you going or where are you coming from that you had to wait for the bus? Did you have something to do? You had a date? You had to go to Saltgrass? What was up?
Went bike riding anyway.
Well, it was too cold to bike ride.
Wait a minute. You went bike riding and then you waited for the bus to come take you home?
He always does.
Yeah, but I got through the rain and started warming up back again, you know. I thought it won't come until midnight, you know, so.
What did he say?
I'm wrong anyway, though.
Yeah.
Did he say it was out till midnight?
He said he didn't think it would come till midnight.
Lance, he's off today?
Yes, he'll be back on Monday, Gilbert.
You miss him?
Yeah, I miss Lance anyway, you know.
Yeah, we miss Lance.
I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, John?
Yeah, what's up, Gilbert? What about Dell? Why don't you talk to Dell?
He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah, Dale. Hey, good, Dale.
Good, Gilbert.
Dale.
I want a picture with me and Dave Warner and Billy Lawson. You got it, John?
Who?
A picture with you and Dave Ward and who?
Billy Lawson, anyway.
Melanie Lawson.
When did you take that picture, Gilbert?
Last summer.
Oh, yeah, I don't have it.
And you never got that picture?
Never got that picture anyway.
Why do you think I would have it?
Because you know the people at ABC.
I don't know anyone.
No, I know Woody King, Don Belly. Anybody got your picture of you anyway? So give it to me anyway, you know.
Yeah, no.
Woody can't give you that picture.
But, you know, It's no, Wendy can't get me that picture.
Wendy would have that picture, right?
Wendy, no, because now he'll call every day asking for the picture.
Hey, Gilbert.
Gilbert, didn't we go through this last summer? Didn't you ask like 1,000 times last summer about that picture?
No.
Yeah, I think you did.
Well. Yes, you did.
So, I don't know anything about the picture, Gilbert, so I don't know.
Good day, gentlemen, okay?
Okay,
you're done. He's done with us.
Hope you get better.
Hope you're not sick next time you call.
Take some NyQuil.
How about you just take your bike, use it to ride home, you know, the one you use to get to wherever you want it to go? Just take it home. By the way, that's a complete lie. None of that happened last night.
It might have happened.
No chance. None of that happened last night.
Why do you think it didn't happen?
Because there was no mention of a bike being stolen, so none of it happened.
Well, he didn't get his bike stolen. He's just waiting outside for so long. He was mad. He's mad.
But if he's waiting for a... If we're going to break down that story. If he's waiting for a bus and he's upset it's taking so long, he has a mode of transportation with him. Why didn't he just take the bike and ride it home?
It was too cold to ride.
So he would rather sit in the cold and not move as opposed to move in the cold?
Yes. You don't understand the mind of Gilbert.
Clearly. I don't. Because I can figure out a way to stay warm and get home.
I can decipher all, Gilbert.
I see.
And this is like the 90th time he's asked about that picture.
Dude, you better get him that picture.
Oh, time to talk about Texas Mattress Makers. When you're talking about a company that sells, and this is not an exaggeration, you go to one of these other mattress companies, these stores, what they have is all this overhead. They've got their distribution, they've got their manufacturing, I don't even know if they're manufacturing, they're buying it from somewhere, I don't know. Then they've got each location, and it does so much more. And it's not like, here's the thing, is like, oh, well, our bed is better. No, because you can cut open a bed. When you go to Texas Mattress Makers, you actually see the inside of the bed that you're sitting on, laying on, and you will take, you know, you'll lay down on the bed. Okay, you'll get you a cover. You curl up. Is that exactly how you're going to sleep? And you choose that bed accordingly. But you can see the insides and what they're made of. And you know what? It's not a secret. You can cut open somebody else's bed and see what they're made of. So this bed is as good as it gets. It's the technology that Yuval thinks has been the best that he's seen. And he's got all of those beds, from a simple bed and mattress to the most extravagant you could possibly want, but all at about 50% of what you're paying elsewhere. It's all at TexasMattressMakers.com. Two locations now. How about this? Always been a 4619 navigation, but they're also in Katy now. So all you people out west, you don't have to drive all the way to the east side, 4619 navigation, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, exit 742 on I-10 West. Texas Mattress Makers, just the best bed, the best value you're going to find. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Del, how are you celebrating the one-year anniversary of Justin Thomas's 59 at the Sony?
I don't even know what you just said. Justin Thomas, like a golfer or something?
Yeah, Justin Thomas is a golfer.
What did he do again?
In Hawaii last year, he shot a 59.
What's the significance of shooting a 59 in Hawaii?
59 is the score. It was Mr. 59 was Al Geiberger for years. Because hitting 59 is usually 13 under par. Sometimes it's less if it's a, you know, it's even harder, though, because you don't have as many par fives if it's a par 70 or 71. So 59 is the benchmark for a great, great score.
Man, that was boring.
All right.
I'm sorry. That was boring. Even the explanation, I'm sorry. You know, it's early in the morning, so it might be attributed to that, but I actually dozed a little bit.
You did?
Yeah. My eyes fluttered.
Yeah. Well,
golly. I was looking up Georgia.
Sony Open in Hawaii today.
Oh, and is he going to be there again?
Yeah, he's there. He didn't play as well in the first round this year.
That's sad.
All right, let's, okay, so odds to win it all next year. Who's the most overrated and who's the most underrated college teams right now? Alabama is 5-2. Clemson is 6-1. Ohio State 8-1. Georgia 8-1. Michigan 10-1. Penn State 12. Oklahoma 18-1. Michigan State 25. Texas 25. Miami 25-1.
It's interesting considering how many decisions have been made in terms of early entrance. Like Alabama lost, Bo Scarborough decided to go. Damien Harris decided to stay, though. They lost, I think, 5 to 6 guys decided the last 24 hours or so to leave. Georgia still has some question marks. We're talking about it during the break.
They're going to have a bunch of guys going.
A bunch of guys going who aren't even early entrants. Like, they're losing the two running backs. They're losing Davin Bellamy. Lorenzo Carter's out. I think Dominic Sanders is out, too, as a senior. And then you got some juniors who have decisions to make, like Jonathan Ledbetter, who's one of their starting, or at least one of their rotation defensive tackles. I think that those odds are way early until all the decisions are made, because you never know who's going to be back and who won't be. But that kind of seems, I think Georgia's too high. I think their odds are, however you put it, their odds are too low or good to make it.
Well, it is important that those veterans, but this is a team now with experience. They got to the championship game.
But they're
turning into a school, though, where, okay, they've got a great recruiting class this year. They're turning into a school where they just reload.
Oh, they've always had great recruiting class. Now it's up to another level under Kirby Smart.
You've got Fromm coming back. You've got Swift coming back. You know what? I think you replace a lot of those linemen. The defensive players are probably going to be great athletes again. I think that's easier to replace as defensive players.
They're losing starters.
Roquan's a big loss.
They're losing starters who are seniors on the offensive line, like Isaiah Wynn. Who's a tackle, and also as I go through the list, Dyshon Sims is out.
Yeah, you can get fat guys.
But they're not built with the passing attack, which you can mitigate some of your offensive line if you can get the ball out and just have an efficient quarterback. They're built. Kirby wants to be what Saban is. He wants to run the ball, okay. Have a guy who minimizes mistakes, and that offensive line is really important for
him. It's really important, but is it easier to find and replace a line that is predicated mostly on the run or on the pass?
You would assume in the SEC with the pass rushers, you would assume the pass. But if they're not as dominant as they were, then you're hoping for more development from Jake Fromm, which is something that should happen.
Why wouldn't you? He was a true freshman. He got you to the championship game.
He was around. He was on the team. He didn't get them to the championship game.
I'm going to tell you this. I think Michigan is probably the most overrated.
Well, they still
10-1.
They don't have a quarterback.
And what are they proving? Well, they've got Dylan McCaffrey coming and Brandon Peters coming back. That's
Brandon
great.
Brandon Peters is whatever, and Dylan McCaffrey hasn't played.
I think OU could be overrated.
You're not in on Kyler Murray.
No, I'm not in on Kyler Murray, and you'll lose the best player in the country, and it's certainly going to affect you. Texas at 25-1 is interesting.
Okay. That one seems like a little much, considering we don't know anything. They're still it's only been 1 year, but they're an offense who found no rhythm. They depend on their defense, and which will keep you in games. Obviously, and Todd Orlando's not going anywhere. But until I see Texas decide on a quarterback first, how about we decide on one first, and then have that guy entrench himself as a guy, and then I will then I would think of Texas as maybe an outside shot of national title.
You're losing Saquon Barkley at Penn State, but you still got Trace McSorley, and it'll be his senior season. I think Penn State is underrated. I think Penn State's going to be. It's really got a chance to be a national championship contender next year. Sure, you lose Saquon Barkley, but, well, hey, you lost Christian McCaffrey and you had Bryce Love. And now you got the other kid who's just dynamite as well. So I think you can replace running back, obviously, easier than you can replace quarterback. I'm looking at teams like Oklahoma. Michigan doesn't have a quarterback. I'm looking at at Fromm and saying he's coming back, so I got confidence that they're going to be at least they'll be good at that position.
I think I would call them above average. Jake Fromm, if there's more on Jake Fromm's plate, We'll see how he performs. We saw when they, I mean, we talked about earlier how they kind of turtled up and they weren't as aggressive late in that game. But he missed a couple throws that could have extended drives.
No.
There needs to be growth there.
He's
a freshman.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I'm not all in on Jake Fromm only because I feel like what he is at Georgia is what past quarterbacks have been at Alabama. Now, A.J. McCarron turned himself into a pro. We'll see what his future is on the NFL. But I feel like Jake Coker, who with the dominant team found a way to win a national title after transferring from Florida State? Is he Greg McElroy? I'm not sure what Jake Fromm is yet. So I would
say he's more Aaron Murray.
It's Georgia better hope.
Yeah.
He had a shot and then he decided to throw a ball short of the end zone.
He gagged when in the biggest game.
So I'm not sure what Jake Fromm is.
Well, and so did Jake Fromm. Actually. Yeah. So that happened. I think I like Penn State a lot going into next year. And I like, of course, obviously Alabama with Tua. I want to see a playoff without Alabama in it. That'd be great.
Good luck with that. Saban going anywhere?
No, unless he goes to the Giants.
No, Saban won't be there. Bill Belichick would be there.
Saban's going to the Giants.
No, Bill Belichick will be there. And
Bill Belichick goes, Saban's going with him.
As a what? Co-head coach?
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be ridiculous. Look, this is what's going to happen, John. Bill Belichick will take that Giants job. That means Bill O'Brien's going to take that Patriots job. And Nick Saban, you know what? That guy beat me in a title game. Now I want to come coach him. Nick Saban, Houston Texans head coach.
I got you
set up.
Because he wants to prove it. Because he wants the only place he failed.
And he wants to coach a kid who
Deshaun.
Who kept him from, what, three straight national titles?
Yeah.
He wants to coach. See, that's how it works. Saban to Houston. Let's get it going. ESPN,
you heard it here first.
ESPN 975's John Granato reports.
No,
Nick
no.
Saban.
Dale, according to Gilbert, is no, the one who reported it.
This isn't my show, so it doesn't matter.
Dale reported it.
The only one whose name is in the headlines headlines for this show is you. Mm-hmm. So John Granato reports Nick Saban to the Houston Texans.
Let's take a break. Raheel's going to be joining us at the top of the hour here on ESPN 975. 713-780-3776. Come on. Give it up.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir.
8:32, ESPN 97.5. John Adele along with Harrison here at 713-780-3776. Let's talk NFL. We got the divisional games. Of all of the favorites, all the favorites, we got the huge favorite in New England over Tennessee. That I think we are, everywhere I hear, and you know what? Nobody gave Tennessee a chance last week against Kansas City, so Tom Brady hasn't played all that great. I don't know that there's not a chance that Tennessee probably makes it a game for a while. Unless they come out, you know, this ESPN story may have been fuel that this is that and exactly what a team with five Super Bowls needs is some fuel and some way to focus.
And the other thing is the Patriots have been able to win playoff games at homes for whatever reason. The Chiefs don't do that. They don't actually have one playoff game anywhere.
True.
They're different. It's just a different ball game. Going to Kansas City, as much as we thought of them early in the year and really last year, this run with them with Alex Smith as being a good football team, for whatever reason, how much playoff success have they actually had?
Yeah. The second biggest favorite is Pittsburgh over Jacksonville. And it's kind of crazy when you look at it. Jacksonville went in there in the regular season and beat them 30-9. Been through five picks. Why would you think that they should be a 7-point favorite in this football game? But it's experience. I've got my human eyes, and I see Blake Bortles, and that's just terrible.
Yeah, Jacksonville's going to have to put on one, I won't say all-time, but they're going to be great defensively.
Yeah,
because
they're going to have to do about the same thing what they did in the regular season.
And can we trust Blake Bortles in that environment not to make mistakes? If they can run the football, obviously,
And it's going to be freezing.
That'll be
cold.
Great.
Is that,
yeah,
that's
it doesn't,
a huge advantage.
And it doesn't suit Jacksonville at all to go up there and try to win that game. Not that it does in most teams going up to Pittsburgh and winning, but it feels like Jacksonville reached the peak of what they could accomplish this year, which was, it was a great
Bortles.
Season. And then you hope to improve that position in the offseason.
I don't disagree. I just think this is a trap situation.
They do have the defense makes you think. And Warren Sharp has talked about how Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, doesn't do what they do best, and they start to throw the football when they should be running it. Now the problem is, what's the bigger weakness? Does Jacksonville have a weakness? Are you going to run the ball at them, or are you going to be subjected to that pass rush and the cornerbacks?
Does Jacksonville has to run the ball?
No, not Jacksonville. The Steelers.
Oh, the Steelers.
Because Warren Sharp would talk about how the Steelers against certain teams don't do what they should. What's the weakness? How do you attack? Because he talked about it, they should have ran the ball the last time against Jacksonville. They started throwing the ball, and that's what led to all the picks and the 3-9 loss. Can you run the ball against the Jags?
Well, I think. Well, here's the deal. I think you throw to open up the run, and here's the deal too: is they're different because Smith-Schuster is better, because Bryant is better. Antonio Brown, will find out how healthy he is, but I think they're going to be able to throw against this defense too. I know that they're awfully tough to throw against. I just think that they're just too good. This is a different team than they met early in the season.
I don't think it'll be this high flying affair. I just think that Pittsburgh has such an advantage because they don't have to worry about the passing game or really the offense for the Jags, that they don't have to put themselves in situations where Jacksonville has an advantage in defense versus offense. I just think. How many risk do the Pittsburgh Steelers really have to take in that game?
Yeah, because how are they going to score?
Yes, how's the Jags going to score?
But if the Jags do score?
If they get up early, then obviously it changes things.
It changes everything.
A defensive turnover leads to a touchdown or maybe Fournette breaks a run. That could change things. But unless one of those things happen, I feel like this is like a 24-13 game if Jacksonville gets to 13.
Well, don't forget that Blake Bortles is a lot like LeBron, so...
Yeah, he's been criticized, and people say he sucks.
Both of them. People think they both suck. The Vikings 5 over the Saints. I really like the Vikings in this situation. I really do. I know. The Saints are more solid than they have been in years, but this Vikings defense is different. That place is different. I think Case, this is his first playoff start. That's going to be that obvious, but he's stepped up every single time. I just think the Vikings are a better football team.
And this sets up for one of those things where the dominant team all year, but they're a new team in the playoffs, relatively. I mean, they made it, 2 years ago when Blair Walsh missed the kick? Obviously, different quarterbacks, some different personnel. It sets up where you have a great year, and you're just not quite ready for this moment. We've seen it multiple times where a new team on the block doesn't show up or doesn't play up to what we think their capability is.
You could say the same thing with the Saints.
That's true, but they do have the guy who's been there plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a coach who's been there plenty. I feel like the Saints won this whole game, yeah.
So I don't. I like the Vikings big. I'm not big, but I like them a lot. And then the Falcons and Eagles, the first time a 6 seed is a favorite over a 1 seed. I don't think the people are giving enough respect to the Eagles, if you want to know the truth. I know that they didn't do well. I've got to believe that Doug Peterson is going to have a better game plan for Nick Foles in this football game. And I just think that everybody is underestimating the Eagles. I can see the Falcons, all of the money going on the Falcons in this football game, and the Eagles coming out of here. Nobody's giving the Eagles a chance.
What did you think about the Falcons going into L.A.?
I liked L.A.
And because the Falcons have the stink of the Super Bowl loss and the fact that they didn't play well all year long. They were inconsistent. I like the Falcons. I think I don't see Philly scoring enough. Their defense will be fine, and I don't think it'll be a game where the Falcons run away. But see, the problem is, I feel like Matt Ryan's got a 2-turnover in the red zone game in him, and I think that's the way the Eagles win. Because I think the Falcons will put some possession together, but I feel like Matt Ryan is very capable of stalling in the red zone and throwing a couple picks. But I'll take the Falcons to win that.
Yeah, I mean everybody is.
I just don't Maybe Nick Foles is the guy we saw in the first week, or maybe not that guy particularly, but a guy who wasn't what we saw in the last week. Something in the middle. If he's something in the middle, I think Philly has a real shot of winning. But I don't know if he's the something in the middle.
I know that they're in the divisional round. You're going to find favorites more. Last weekend, all the dogs won. The books cleaned up. Cleaned up. Because all of the dogs came through and covered. This week is probably more of a favorite, but be careful of betting the obvious bet. If you're on the same train that everybody else is on, you're going to get steamrolled.
Is everyone on the Vikings or the Saints?
Everyone's on the Saints. I think that money's probably going to be split. I don't think you're going to have an obvious. I think it's going to be obvious with the Steelers. I think it's going to be obvious with the Patriots. And I think it's going to be obvious with the Falcons. Those are the teams that the public, they're public teams, and the public is going to bet on them.
And they have a pedigree, recent playoff success, or at least recent playoff appearances. You're talking about the Eagles, who haven't been around in a while. And they don't have the starter.
That's the key.
The problem is with the Steelers. I mean, the Eagles, are we trying to convince ourselves that Nick Foles is a Nick Foles? Do we believe the Eagles are that good that they can overcome Nick Foles?
No, I think everybody believes that Nick Foles is so bad.
That's what I'm saying. If you are on the opposite end, are you just trying to go against logic and think to yourself, Nick Foles is they can overcome what Nick Foles, the detriments of Nick Foles
brings? I just think that Doug Peterson, with a couple of weeks, is going to be able to cover up Nick Foles.
How do you cover up how bad Nick Foles is at times?
I just think he may have just been off. We've seen Nick Foles actually play well.
It's been a while, but yeah.
It's been a while.
So that, if you're an Eagles fan, you've seen him play well for your team with a different system, but you've seen it.
Yeah.
So
maybe you go back to that, to Chip Kelly's system. Go look what Chip Kelly did and do it.
Well, they do some of that RPO stuff now. Yeah. Carson Wentz is not so different. Yeah.
So?
Good luck, Eagles.
I just think, and this is the number one seed for a reason. This team has been good all year. Carson Wentz was a huge part of it.
If I take Tom Brady off the Patriots, and let's do
and
they
put Nick Foles in because they don't have any and Brian Hoyer.
So you say the number one seed.
I guess that's about it.
Pull Brian Hoyer against the Titans,
I still got the Patriots.
Mm. Well, I think the Falcons are better than the Titans. So if I'm making Nick Foles the equivalent of Brian Hoyer, I'm taking the Falcons.
No, I agree, but I'm just cautioning. Last week, that's exactly what happened. Is everybody bet on the obvious choice, and everybody got slapped. You just got the Vegas wasn't built on a bunch of great bettors. It was built on a bunch of people who take obvious choices.
I completely understand the want to not do the obvious, but I can't trust Nick Foles, even with Matt Ryan and his ability to do things.
Well, that might not be the game. Somewhere in here, it's not going to be the Patriots or the Steelers or the. I think the most part people are on the Saints and the Falcons. Somewhere in there, you're going to get that Vegas is going to slap some people.
Yeah, probably. I just don't believe I won't take Nick Foles and the Eagles, obviously number one seed, but are they the number one seed without Carson Wentz? I will take the Falcons. I think they're the better team when Nick Foles is playing quarterback for the Eagles, even at home.
All right, 842 ESPN 97.5. I got to talk about my guy, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. It is the place for you to go and sell your vehicle. And John Clay Wolf, you can hear him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5. It's a funny show from 9 till noon. It's a funny show. You've got to listen to it. And they're really, really good. And what they do is even over the phone, he'll quote you. Now, you go to GiveMeTheVin.com, and he said an average of about 45 minutes to 45 seconds to a minute. That's how long it's going to take you to get your quote. Now, if it's over 50,000 miles, if it's an older car, if you got issues, dents or whatever, any kind of an issue, engine issues or whatever you got, it might take a little bit more time, but they're going to get right back to you, and they're going to give you that quote for that car that you need. This dude has been doing it for years, and he's huge, maybe the biggest guy doing this out there. But he is He's going to give you the best price that you can. I've heard he gave this woman $500 or $1,000 more for her car. So she gave her shoes to one of his producers. Eh, it's a little weird. It's a little perverted. But, oh, well, that's what happened. So if you're looking for a lot of fun in that show, or you're looking for the best price for your car, if you can't match or beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100. At GiveMeTheVIN.com, GiveMeTheVIN.com. I got it for the Lolo.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Dell, along with Harrison. Raheel's going to join us in just a second. He's got a Sabercats shirt on. Man, is he looking? Look at he's looking Sabercat-ish today.
What does that mean?
It means that he's looking like he wants to go out and hit somebody. That's what it means.
Nah, it looks like he's pimping the Sabercats on Newsfix later today. That's what it looks like.
Is that what you're doing? Yeah. You're pimping the Sabercats today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they on?
Yeah, this weekend, Saturday. Every Saturday night for the next 9 weeks, they're playing at Constellation Field at 7.
No, I know, but are they on your TV station?
No, they're not. Oh. Not right now. They're trying to figure
it
out.
Are you sure that they want you to pimp Sabercats?
You know,
is there a competing rugby brand they're concerned about?
Maybe. Or maybe they're not getting any advertising dollars from the Sabercats. And they're like, hey, wait.
That sounds like a
Newsfix problem, not a real problem.
Because I'm getting advertising dollars from those Sabercats. Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, it's not a me problem.
I'm just wearing the shirt.
I just like a shirt.
I love how you care about, the whole picture as opposed to just yourself.
No. We've talked about an upcoming meeting consistently. Why would you think he cared about the overall picture?
But how are you going to do Newsfix when you have a sports map meeting today?
Oh, I'm not going to that.
You're not going to the sports map meeting? Just go to the sports map meeting and do your Newsfix.
No, you got to get ready for Newsfix.
I have pre-production meetings for Newsfix. I have to be there.
You don't have any pre-production meetings.
And it takes like 4 minutes to get there, so it's... And today's weather,
Well, yeah. As sunny as it is out there.
Yeah. So I just don't want to risk it. So I'm just going to leave.
Just got to make sure it gets there on time.
Sports map. It's pretty easy, though. All you got to do is promote, and you got to write. That's all. It's going to be that.
I'm not good with directions.
No. Particularly directions that are given to me, and they're asking for free work.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, sports map, because that... If I was going to do a piece on sports map, I'm doing shortcuts to games and like actual map related stories.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, that'll be good.
How to use the Waze app.
Right.
How to use the Waze app to get to places.
No, how to get in the back door at NRG for Texans games.
Yeah. So can you do that?
Oh.
Remember the kid who walked in with the ladder, but it turned out it was fake at the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. No, that happened.
Yeah.
But do you remember the, have you ever gone in from Buffalo Speedway?
I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you meant get into the actual building.
No. Get in the back way to make it easier to get
there. I just go all the way down 90, all the way to the parking lot.
I do the Buffalo Speedway thing.
Yeah, Buffalo Speedway thing and come, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what you can get on sportsmap.com.
That's what we're going to do.
That's
what. The best ways to get into stadiums.
Actual map talk.
Yeah. Is that what they want? Because I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
I'll give it to them. I'll give them the best way to get here without using a highway.
How's that?
From League City.
Do you do that?
I get on 225 and I can get here without using the highway. If there's like a bad traffic, I have ways, John.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about it right now because there's no traffic in the morning. But the whole 9 o'clock thing when we started at 9, by the way, thanks, Lance. I found you got to find ways.
See, that's why you're the perfect sports map writer.
No, you are a great sports map writer.
You talk sports for a living and you know shortcuts on the map.
Yeah, but I don't do that stuff for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just put in ways.
Let's get Tiny in here on ESPN 97.5. He wants to refute my Vikings thoughts. What did you say, Tiny?
Absolutely. Look, it's Case Keenum versus Drew Brees. I understand the Vikings defense is good, but name an offense that they've played during the season not as good as the Saints. Because if you look at the week one matchup, Lattimore played the slot. They kind of eased him in. Kamara didn't even play a snap. They tried to force feed Adrian Peterson. Michael Thomas, I mean, it was a very bland offense by the Saints in week one when they played. And then now you flip it. The Saints' defense is lights out now that Lattimore's all by himself out there. You have the other two, Crowley and P.J. Williams, that are also doing pretty darn good. Kenny Vaccaro's slow, sorry behind ain't there no more. You put in another rookie. The only real, I guess, negative for the Saints is Pete went out with a broken leg, and then now you have to put in a backup offensive guard, but it could affect the running game. It kind of affected the running game once Pete went out against Carolina. But Drew Brees, then again, was Drew Brees when they stopped the running game and the passing game came alive with Kamara. I just don't think the Vikings have enough on the defensive side of the ball that can cover Kamara, stop Ingram, and slow down Drew Brees. I think that the Saints' defense is good enough to slow down Keenum because they don't have Cook back there anymore when he went down with an MCL. Although Keenum did pick up the slack once, you know, he got rolling. But I see the Saints winning this one by 12 or 13.
So let me get this straight. The guy from Louisiana who has the crawfish festival, a big-ass crawfish boil, the guy who's an LSU diehard, the guy who just, that's all he ever thinks about is Louisiana, he likes the Saints in this one. Okay, I got it. All right, thanks.
Yeah, but,
thanks,
okay,
Donnie. Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it. Thanks for your unbiased opinion on this game.
You're telling me the Vikings can't stop the Saints at all? Although I picked the Saints, but I'm not going blowout like he is.
12 or 13.
Like there's no chance the Vikings win the football game.
I got it, Tiny.
Hey, all the advantages with the Saints. You mean against the best team in the NFC?
How are they going to possibly do anything against the Saints?
The Vikings have shut down everyone they've played all year pretty much, but not these Saints.
Not this club.
No.
Let's get Nick in here. He wants to talk about the Eagles. Hey, Nick.
Foles?
Hey, guys. All right. So I'm a huge Eagles fan, but I think one of the only ways to win this Saturday is to get Steve Sarkisian so blasted out of his mind on Coors Light, hopefully, that he can't call the right place.
Coors Lights for Steve Sarkisian. Yeah, I don't mind as long as you can win the game that you, destroy a guy who's trying to be sober, you know, and ruin his life. I don't care as long as you win the game, right?
Hey, you're trying to win football games.
I want USC Steve Sarkisian back, you know.
Get ready to fight.
Harrison doesn't know what the drop is, but yeah, that Steve Sarkisian, he got a real shot to win that ball game.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you think that he's trying, you should get him wasted? When's that game, tomorrow or Sunday?
Tomorrow,
yeah. Get him wasted tonight.
Yeah.
So he's so hungover and maybe needs to have a few Coors Lights before the game.
He's on the road alone in a strange city.
Yeah.
Maybe send over.
I love that strategy.
Send over some Coors Lights and maybe a lady of the night.
I don't care about a man's life and his livelihood.
I'm not interested in that if I'm an Eagles fan.
No, I want to win the game.
When has an Eagles fan cared about someone's life and livelihood who wasn't one of their own?
Never.
See, you heard him. Never.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Got it.
Boy, your bias is leaking, Tiny.
God, Lee, just imagine that. Telling us how the Vikings have no shot at beating this Saints. Like to
I
know all the advantages on the Saints side.
Every single advantage goes check.
Remember when they used to do that? They don't do it anymore. But like CBS used to do it when they had it. Check mark. All
quarterback. Check. Receivers. Check.
Defense.
Check. Offensive line.
Check.
Minus Pete.
We lost one of our starters. Check.
All right. Yeah, Tiny.
Coaching, obviously, that's a check for you as well. Why are we even playing
their
the game?
Their coach can't even see.
He's got one eye.
How can we lose to a coach that can't see?
Hey, Tiny, what about home field advantage for the Vikings? Oh, we play in a dome. Yeah. You know what that's like.
Right, check mark. It's loud. It's loud in our dome, too.
We understand how that works. We're going to be fine.
Check. Unbiased opinion, Saints win. Gotcha, Douglas. Boy, your bias is leaking, Tiny. All right, 857 ESPN 97.
Beat it, Dell.
Beat it.
I'm just going in there. I don't spend the 30 minutes that Lance was spending here. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going in there.
Are you taking Harrison out?
Why is Harrison can't work? Are
because
you leave?
I'm not Lance. I don't need to stay in here for 30 minutes.
I'm on a sports map.
And Harrison has sports map responsibilities.
Oh, he does? Oh. Well, you see, sports map.
Yeah.
Once again, ruining everyone's life.
Harrison has to go give traffic updates.
8:57, take a break. Harrison, hey, Dell, beat it. Are you beating it?
No, I'm just leaving.
Are you beating it, Dell?
No, I'm leaving. At least I forget to a clock in that game. Everyone's